Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Please turn with me in the scriptures to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, starting at verse 20. This afternoon we're considering the parable of the persistent or the importunate widow from chapter 18 and verses 1 through 8. Starting our reading in Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, 'See here, or see there,' go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah came, entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left." And they answered and said unto him, "Where, Lord?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, 'Avenge me of mine adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?' And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here we end our reading this afternoon. May God bless His very own word to our hearts and lives. Now we make confession of the Christian faith. We confess the Christian faith using the Apostles' Creed, the 12 articles. Let each of us say before the living God from our hearts, in our hearts, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Beloved congregation, there was a American basketball player, coach, and broadcaster named Jimmy Valvano, or Jim Valvano. And after he was diagnosed with cancer, he gave a speech that included this quotation: don't give up. Don't ever give up. Well, he has since died of his cancer in the mid-90s. The truth of that quotation remains: don't give up. Don't ever give up. And we give up easily. It takes just a little bit of adversity to lead us to throw up our hands and just about give up. It takes a little bit of resistance, and we're ready to throw in the towel and give up. It takes things just going a little bit against us and maybe a little bit backwards from our perspective, and we're ready to give up. How much more is this true also in prayer? How much more true is this in light of a world where we can read of the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, and we wonder where it is? And we're inclined to give up because it seems like it's not happening. And we're prone to faint. We're prone to lose heart. Prone to give up. And yet the parable in front of us this afternoon declares to us the call to persistent prayer in the light of Christ's coming. The call is for us to persist, to persevere. The word often used is importunate, where she keeps coming back and back and back, like one wave in a lake or on the ocean follows another, and to keep going. To not take no. To not allow herself to be ignored. To force the issue with this unjust judge. And so maybe the call must come to you this afternoon. What have you been praying about? And maybe you're ready to throw up your hands and give up, and you wonder what your prayers have really done. I tell you to keep praying. Maybe it's for spiritual life. Maybe you've prayed for years, Lord, give me a new heart. Lord, lead me to faith in Christ. I tell you to keep praying. God hears those who cry out to Him. Maybe it's for a child or a loved one who has gone the wrong way and left the path of godliness. And you wonder, you've prayed so long, why continue? Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Maybe it's for a health concern. Maybe it's for something physical and you're wondering if it's beneath God. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Beloved, we need to push through, to keep appearing before the just judge who hears and who answers. Our theme is, don't ever give up praying. Don't ever give up praying. 3 points: prayer as recourse, prayer as simple activity, and the God who hears. So don't ever give up praying. Children, this is an important lesson for you. Don't ever give up praying. Prayer is recourse. Prayer is simple activity. And the God who hears. In the Old Testament, do you remember, children, what those places were called where somebody who had committed an accidental murder could go to? We're told about them in Deuteronomy 19 and about them being established in Joshua. They're called cities of refuge, places where somebody who killed somebody accidentally could go for safety. There would be an avenger, a relative of the person who was killed, who would be hunting for that person to try to bring justice to the person who murdered their loved one. And if the person who murdered the loved one got to the city of refuge, within the city limits, they were safe. They had to flee there. And the question is where does a believer have to go? Where can there be one who in an ungodly, unfriendly world that would take up their case? And our answer is, we go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is a fleeing to God, a taking recourse, a running to Him for help and for security. And that's exactly what this widow does. She didn't have somebody to take up her case. She didn't have maybe a relative who would, widows would be very oppressed in the times of Jesus. They would be taken advantage of. They would have people seeking opportunities to minimize them and take from them whatever could serve the other person. So this widow didn't have anywhere to really go, anyone to plead her case and to come alongside as an advocate. There was a widow in that city. She came unto this judge, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. She went to the judge with a request. Prayer is going to God, taking recourse, finding help and security in God. Just like that city would be fled to by the person guilty of manslaughter, So prayer is a taking recourse, running to God for help, for security. And the reason for this, obviously, is, first of all, our own weakness. Our own weakness. We're unable in ourselves to be safe and to plead our own case. She was a widow. She was left helpless. She was weak. But secondly, she had an adversary. She had a strong presence who was against her. So you take her weakness and you take this adversary's persistence and the trouble that this adversary is inflicting upon this widow, and you see the widow had to go somewhere. The widow had to seek help and security. The church and believers have adversaries. Satan himself. The roaring lion. An ungodly generation and age. An adversary against the church. Our own sin. Very adversarial. Yet prayer is going to God for help and security. We're weak, and we have an adversary. And she came to him. There's the beauty of prayer. She came to him. Do you and I not want to give up? Oh, to become familiar with taking recourse, with fleeing for safety to God, to go to Him, to approach Him. But you say, will He give me the time of day? Is He concerned about me? Yes. But you say, will He do anything? Prayer looks ultimately to God, not just to what God will do. Beloved, we are called here to never give up praying, but to always go, to always return to that place of security, that one who helps the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphan. Our problem is too often we're not needy enough. And that's what keeps us away. Too often we're self-reliant. And that's what keeps us out of our crying persistently for help. God needs to show us our desperate need. And we will go to Him as the only recourse. Do you seek God for help and security? Is your way of recourse prayer to the living God, to the judge over all? But then secondly, prayer is a simple activity. Prayer is not a complicated matter in this parable. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto Him. She had recourse to Him, and she had a simple request. Avenge me of thine adversary. And He would not for a while. He kept putting her, go away. I have other business. I have other cases that I need to attend to. Go away. I don't have time for you right now. But afterward he said within himself, No, I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. She kept on coming, time and time again, with a simple request, avenge me of my adversary. The next day or the next hour, avenge me of my adversary. I need your help. Help me. It's a simple statement of need. And it's a simple action done repeatedly. And that's the picture that we have here, is this judge is growing frustrated because it's such a simple thing. And it's simply repeated and repeated and repeated, that the way for him to get rid of her is to do what she says. For self-interest. So that she doesn't weary him. The idea there for weary is to give a black eye. To be an annoyance. To annoy the person. To get under the person's skin. To judge for selfish motives. Wants to deal with this woman so that she doesn't become a further nuisance to himself. One of the things that make us give up in prayer is we too often overcomplicate it. You've had it, if you've been blessed with children as I have, where the children want something and they keep saying, please, 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 please. And just to keep you from going nuts, you give in to what they want so that they go away and they're satisfied for a bit. The simple request, please, please, with a pleading look. We complicate prayer. And that's what so often makes us give up. It becomes this clunky machine rather than a simple, spontaneous heart cry to God. So how can you be encouraged to keep praying? Using prayer as a simple activity. Let me just mention a few ideas to try to restore prayer. First is to pray short prayers throughout the day, rather than a long prayer at a certain time of day. To pray for somebody who might be getting medical attention, to pray for somebody when a phone call is being made and the need comes across the line, to pray for them then and there. Let's pray about it. Or when you say you're going to pray for somebody, pray for them right when you say that. Or very soon after. Prayer is a simple activity. It doesn't have to be a complicated, long, drawn out, energy draining. It can be simple, spontaneous. But also focus on a single request. And pray for that request. And pray to God to bring that request. This woman had a simple request, avenge me of my adversary. That was her pinpoint focus. Not to say we can't pray for a few things through the course of the day or in the course of the week, but to really put the finger and to put the focus on a few simple matters. The third thing is to pray with a simple promise. This woman came to this judge as a judge who could intervene. We must go to God, as to God who is all powerful and has promised to help his people. It can be a simple promise. Ask, and you shall receive. Bring that to the Lord. It's not complicated. And fourth, pray from a heart of confidence, a heart of faith. This woman kept going back. The power in this woman's prayer was the faith that she would receive what she needed. It wasn't her words, it wasn't her clout or her status. It was faith that through persistence, through action, she would receive. And this woman had it in an unjust. What about believers who have the living, just God to believe and to ask? Beloved, you need prayer as a simple activity. Breathing is a very simple activity. You don't go through the process of thinking about your lungs and about your diaphragm and about your mouth opening. It's very basic. Prayer should be a very basic activity. We often lose heart. We often give up praying because prayer becomes more complicated. And it becomes a burden that we don't want to bear. Rather than the simple delight of crying out to God. Restore simplicity to prayer. Perhaps you will carry on and you will keep going. Not because of your prayers or because of how often you pray, but because simple prayer can reach the true God who hears prayer. So don't ever give up praying. Also because of the God who hears. The God who hears alone should keep us crying out to Him. Because first of all, He is everywhere. He's always to be inquired of. This judge feared not God, and he didn't regard man. He was one who was unjust, one who could maybe take that case and not another case, and still this woman went to him, not sure if she would find him, not sure if he would hear her, and certainly not sure if he would act on her behalf. But what about us who have the God who is everywhere and who cares for his people, however they come, wherever they come from? He is one who will deal uprightly. He is one who regards the prayers of his people. God who hears invites us to come. He even has given promises that before they ask, He knows what their petitions are before they even leave the mouth. What a reason to keep on praying. God receives the prayers of His people. God doesn't grow weary. They don't become an annoyance to Him. He delights. Morning, noon, and night, He delights when His people pray always. Second of all, the God who hears. The God of redemption. The one who has put His enemies, the adversaries, to flight. The one who has pictured in the Old Testament the city of refuge where there could be safety for the manslayer is the one who in the New Testament sent His Son in order to be the advocate. In order to take up the case of the woman with the issue of blood, or Jairus and his daughter, or the blind people by the side of the road, or other lepers and needy ones. They call, they ask, even once, and He answered. He took up their case. We have in the God who hears the God and Father of Jesus Christ. And what's the greatest assurance that He would hear, but that He would send His Son to the cross? And we think, where is justice? There is justice. Slaying the very Son of God, bearing the sins of His people, that His people receive mercy. His people receive pardon. His people receive everlasting life. It's not a trouble for God to hear. He's made the way open so that the throne of grace is available because Christ has opened it up through His own prevailing merits. When you and I give up praying, we are saying Christ hasn't done enough for me to keep praying. How wrong that is. He's done enough. God will avenge His own elect. He will answer His dear people. Beloved, do you go to this God who hears prayer? Find not the reason in God why you may not be being answered, but you must confess you ask so little of Him. You ask with such mixed hearts and mixed motives, with so much sin that you're harboring. Well, then the third thing that we see about this God who hears is He gives the very prayers that He hears. This woman said, "Avenge me of my adversary." God Himself gives His Spirit to groan and to long for that wholeness in life and that wholeness of heart. God gives the very prayers that he hears. And beloved, maybe you've experienced that, where you felt freedom in praying. And it's not because of you, it's not because of your eloquence, but it's because God, through his Spirit, has opened your lips and your heart to set your case before this God. And you can say, the God who opened my heart and opened my lips is the God I know who will hear and intervene and answer. He hears because he works the very cry. It's not for you and I to drum it up ourselves. But, oh dear ones, it's for us to lean upon him. And the assurance is that God will avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. He bears long. It seems nothing happens. And yet where God works at crying out, God also will, in due time, answer it. So don't ever give up praying. Because praying will be the posture of God's people all the way up until Christ returns. Don't give up praying. Because prayer is an ample provision in the meantime. We may not understand how things are going, where they're going. But, beloved, that's not for us to understand. We know the judge of all the earth will do right. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Good words of Jim Valvano, one who's died. But Christ Jesus, the one who lives, says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Don't give up. Amen. O Lord, we ask thee to keep us praying. Grant that we would never give up. That when we do give up, we would confess it. That we would become again acquainted with thee as the God who hears prayer. That we would have simple requests, simple activity. That our prayers wouldn't be overcomplicated, confusing. And that it would also be a place of safety to cry out to thee. For those who don't truly pray, Lord, show them that they need thy intervention. They need thy Spirit. They need thy life put within their hearts to truly pray. Wilt thou give it? Wilt thou lead in the way of everlasting life? And start with the breathing of a prayer to thy great name here and now. And for believers who do pray, but who wonder where it's going to, grant that they would live by faith. That the case wouldn't be their own. That the case would be thy glory and thy kingdom in this world. Help us to be a praying congregation. For each other and for the lost, that it would be the very life of our flock to cry out. Bless the prayer services we have. Give that we would cry to thee day and night, knowing that thou dost hear us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.